We'll turn this over to you, Reverend Dr.
Irwin Works.
Thank you for joining us. Newly appointed to the head of Mission in North America for the PCA, and we're delighted to have you here this morning and look forward to just, we've received those prayer requests from you and they've been disseminated, would welcome an update from you. I'm not sure if you're fully into the job now or you're still kind of step moving progress.
Yeah. So I am, sort of fully into the job. How's that? I officially started, September 1st. So just a little bit over a month into, the role as coordinator. And I have, but I'm also still wearing my hat as the executive director of the Institute for Cross-Cultural Mission. So the intent is to split the time 60% M&A, 40% ICCM for a few months, possibly through February. But the aim of that on the Institute side is to help the Institute transition to new leadership. What is its next phase of life going to be? And so, this without question is pretty challenging to do. You know, what 60% with one and 40% with the other look like? It's really more like 100% with both. I'm grateful to be on this call with you all. Thank you for the invitation and for your heart to pray for a mission to North America and for me and for supporting the ministry. I'm really encouraged and excited, about this role and what we potentially are able to do through the work of M&A. And so right now, I'm still getting my bearings, right? In terms of an update, it's still who are we? Who are our staff? What are our ministries doing? What are the places where we see, real health and that we are, we're doing what I believe we're called to do, which is to resource our churches for faithful kingdom mission in their place. Where are the places that we can be growing in health as an organization? All for that aim of being in my estimation, desiring to be the first stop for our churches and presbyteries in North America, when they're considering how do we grow in faithfulness to our kingdom calling here in this place. And so I'm doing a lot of listening right now. In my travels, I'm striving to meet with pastors and ministry leaders just to get a sense, just to hear what's been their experience with Mission to North America. What is their understanding of Mission to North America and our role in the denomination. And so that's helping me get an awareness of the kinds of things that we can do to improve our ability to serve our churches and our presbyteries. So in addition to that, it's almost like, you know, you talk about drinking water through a fire hose in terms of my meetings with leadership are overwhelmingly just kind of responding to questions, issues, the things that we need to be discussing in order to keep things moving forward. And what I want to be able to do is get the time to begin to plan and strategize for the future, for Mission to North America. So that's really a kind of a synopsis of where my head is at, where things are right now. It will take several months for all of those things to kind of fall in place in terms of, discerning what are the things we need to kind of double down on, because they're good and healthy and serving our church as well. What are the things we may need to adjust, modify, restructure so that we can grow in our ability to serve our churches and presbyteries?
Yeah, well, and there's a lot. I know there's a lot packed into that. I kind of went through the website the other day just to remind myself of all of the things, from disaster relief, which is always one of those pop-up things. And, Arklew Hooten has been here several times, and we've worked with him in different ways. But then the church planning and expansion in terms of the reach of our denomination, and all of the aspects of that, and the different ethnic ministries. So kind of jumping in front of that. You've been a part of this. I mean, you've been a part of the denomination, obviously, but you've been a part of, have you had a role in Mission of North America in the past?
Yeah, so I've served, I served as a member of the permanent committee, from 2014 to 2019. So I had a 5-year term on the permanent committee, serving on the advisory committee in that permanent committee. Ironically, I was on my first year, I was on the search team that selected Paul Hahn to serve as a new coordinator after Jim Bland stepped down. And then for I overlapped that with serving on the PCA's Unity Fund. Right. And after our 2016 assembly, we established a Unity Fund under the auspices of Mission in North America. And so I served for a few years on that Unity Fund board to get it up and rolling. And so, yes, I've been involved with M&A National. Before then, I served as the chair of our M&A committee in my presbytery as well. And so, the work of M&A and the desires and goals of M&A have always been close to my heart.
Yeah, so will this eventually result in you moving to Lawrenceville
No, it won't. That was one of the things we talked about with the search committee, that they were not requiring the coordinator to move to the Atlanta area. So that was a delight for me. We get to stay in D.C. because my wife in particular is really flourishing right now in terms of our life with Grace Mosaic, the church that we're a part of in D.C. So we were in the D.C. area since 1995. When I planted in 2007, pastored that church for 10 years, about 30 minutes north of D.C. Then in 2018, we moved into D.C. when I came on staff with Grace DC to start the Institute. And that shift really has been just a blessing for my wife. She's really just flourishing in serving in our local church right now in a way that she really hasn't since I was a pastoral intern. So that's a long, long time ago. I wouldn't want to make that shift. And our youngest is a junior in high school. Now I want him to be able to finish. And, you know, most of M&A's staff don't live in the Atlanta area. Because we've got all of these ministry arms, we're really spread out over the country. And even some of our administrative staff, the handful or so, who used to work in the Lawrenceville office, once COVID hit, started working remotely and haven't returned to the Lawrenceville office. And so we're in the midst of negotiating a little change in the office building, because M&A, we need less space. RBI needs more space. So we're doing a shift and a reorganization where we'll have some standing offices for, when I'm in town or other staff are in town, conference room space. We'll still have some presence in the office in Lawrenceville when we need to have meetings or the like, but I won't have to relocate to Lawrenceville permanently.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe in one sense, that's probably one of the benefits of COVID, that it's gotten all of us more accustomed to this, more used, and, you know, some of the management folks were saying, need to do this. Yeah. They've been saying this forever. Well, for a long time anyway.
Right. Well, that's right. That's
so, right. I can imagine how that'll work. And we've been, we kind of run alphabetically through the missionaries and mission agencies that we support. So we're hitting all the PCA guys right now.
Yeah.
We had, Stephen Nestock last week from Discipleship.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we have Lloyd Kim next week.
Great.
And so I know there's been a close kind of a, maybe my sense is, you know, from a guy out here in the Netherlands that the relationship between the coordinators, the heads of the agencies has been closer. And when Lloyd Kim came in, he said, we need to do this. So I've been more conscious of it since he's been there, but, that
he. Can I just comment on that? And sure. Just confirm that I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the things that was encouraging to me when I was candidating for the coordinator role. Because I served as a former moderator, I served on the Cooperative Ministries Committee, which has all of the, you know, agency heads and the permanent committee chairs. I got to see firsthand the relationship, the healthy relationship between our coordinators and agency leaders. And I was just duly impressed by that. That really, not just collegial, but I would say kingdom-minded, relationship and outlook that each of them had, the willingness to support one another and saying where there's opportunity for us to work together for kingdom purposes. Let's not see ourselves as siloed ministries to really grow. In that, and that resonated with me. And so, so part of my excitement is being a part of this group of coordinators and agency, leaders.
Yeah. And we've done with Covenant College, but then Covenant Seminary as well. And to see how they were, you know, they were sharing the same vision, new guy there too.
Yes. Like Tom Gibbs. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. This can only be good, you know, and the kingdom mind in this, obviously, but, well, a lot of things to ask. Maybe let me pause. Anybody questions?
Can you tell us a little bit more about your family?
Oh, sure. We talk about them all day. my wife, Kim, and I, I've been married 29 years. We have four children, one daughter-in-law, and one brand new grandbaby that is the center of my world right now. And so our children, we have three boys and a girl. My oldest son and his wife just moved to Seattle. He just finished his PhD in sociology and got a job as a professor at the University of Washington. So as M&A coordinator, I will be out in the Pacific Northwest relatively frequently, because that's where my granddaughter is. I love them, but I want to see her. So our second born son, Nabil, he's a professional musician. He lives in St. Louis, is graduate of Covenant College back in 2018. And then our daughter, she's 23. She's at home. She graduated from Wheaton College in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic, crazy year to be graduating from college, but she is working as an elementary school teacher, outside of Washington, DC in Silver Spring, Maryland. And then our youngest, Jeremiah, will be 17 in a month from now. And he's a junior in high school. And I'm trying to get him to consider Covenant College, but he hasn't had to. So we'll see what happens with that. You can't try to get me too pushy because you'll push him away from the idea.
That's right.
Lead into, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah. We have a grandson and we're trying to do the same thing. Not push you hard, but encourage, right?
That's right. Yes, exactly. It is a skill, a line to walk. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Got a granddaughter.
Thank you. Sounds like a beautiful family.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other questions, comments, anyone?
Since I'm a member of the Prayer and Care Committee, are there some specific ways that we can pray and care for your family?
Yeah, sure. So my wife, she is in the last year of her master's in biblical counseling program. So she's changing careers. She's been an accountant. She was a CPA at first and then 17 years as a full-time mom at home, went back to accounting world several years ago, but decided she really wanted to pursue counseling. And so just prayer for her that she's able to finish well, you know, doing it part-time over several years is can be a chore. But yes, it's just the grace and energy she needs to finish this program well. Certainly pray for my oldest and his wife and granddaughter as they are adjusting to life in a new city. They're moving way out west and that the Lord would bless them to develop healthy relationships, to find a healthy church, to settle in and build community there. I would say my son who's in St. Louis, just prayer for him as he pursues a career as a professional musician. That's going to be a challenge. I think he's very good and gifted, but you know, it's good to be able to do it when you're 25.
Yes.
Don't have any debt. So, you know, for the Lord to bless him in that. And then our daughter in particular, as just praying for her for good community. She has not settled in a church. She says when she, you know, when she going to church with us makes her feel like she's 12, you know, again, you know, after being away for so long and not, you know, and I'm still pastor. So she hasn't found a church community that, to become a part of. And we're just praying that she would soon, because we just know that that's vital for her own life and development. And then Jeremiah, particularly in this search for colleges this year, that the Lord would lead him, guide him, to the place he ought to be. So thank you for that.
Anyone else? One thing that I usually say and fail to this morning, I don't know what your time limits are. If you need to cut off at a certain time, we can accommodate that certainly, but, we would go to prayer here shortly. Any additional comments from you, things that you would, the list of prayer requests was, you know, really through your organization.
Yes.
Obviously you stepping in, but go ahead.
Yes, I will first say from a time standpoint, I've gotten till about 40, quarter till. So I'm here. I'm a new member of the Surge Board. And so I'm at a board meeting here. But in particular, I mean, this is already in the prayer requests, but not to this specificity. I really do need to be mindful of being intentional about including the kind of margin and rest in my schedule that will enable me to do the work well. I have a tendency to fill up the time, to to be trying to do so much for the Lord that I'm not spending enough time with the Lord. And so just prayer for that I would be mindful of, you know, when to take the appropriate rest and breaks each week, because I'm no longer right in the pastoral rhythm of pastoring a church and where I am able to kind of say, okay, well, this day is going to be my day off during the week. It's very easy, especially since I'm still doing the institute work, to just fill up all of the time with ministry.
Yeah. As one who has made that mistake, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Easy to say, right?
That's right.
No, you are in charge of your schedule.
Yes. That's right.
You let your schedule get in charge of you. Just take it from one who's been there. Burnout is not nice.
Thank you for that. Amen. I will take heed to that. Really. Seriously.
And I'll just flash the book here. I mentioned your book. You may have several. I don't know. Beautiful Community was the one we read. And I found it just encouraging and challenging too, but a great picture that you painted for us there from scripture, obviously, in a time when so many things are dividing and pulling people even within the church apart, much less across the country, that we have a call to unity from scripture, and you described that very well in your book. So I appreciated it.
Thank you so much. That's my heartbeat, really. And truly that, you know, as Paul says, to be eager to maintain the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, right? And that should be the overarching heart and desire for us as his people.
There were some videos last summer that I saw that you did with others, African-Americans in the PCA. Are those still available? Are they on the website?
I think so. They will probably be on the African American Ministries website. So the African American Ministries under M&A has its own website. And those videos or maybe even audio recordings of those will be on that website.
Yeah, good. Those were instructive and informative. And I appreciated those. Last year. Are you aware of any PCA churches that are having ministry to Afghan refugees? They're kind of
news. Thanks for that question. The person I get our information from is Pat Hatch.
Oh, yeah.
He was over our immigrant and refugee ministry, and I actually kind of asked her to share an update on that in our last staff call. And so, yeah, she is the one who's providing information for PCA churches who, and I don't know specifically, which churches are most engaged in trying to minister to Afghan refugees. Pat shared a couple of things. She said, one, my concern is that there's been too much response at the beginning. We like a flash of interest, but this is a long-term process. This is a long-term engagement. And if you're going to serve and reach out to Afghan refugees and immigrants, you've got to do it through the prescribed government channels that are providing services. And so she actually pointed us to particular websites, where we can, and that's something that can have Tracy Hall share with you if you've got any interest there, to learn, okay, what are the ways we can serve? And then what are the long-term prospects for welcoming Afghan refugees and immigrants eventually into our communities. That's because right now, right, they're on army bases and other government installations. And so And so there's a process to go through. I will say, and this is not in our prayer request, but we've just hired a young man, Osman, who is at one of our churches in Cincinnati, to also work with Pat Hatch on immigrant and refugee ministries as it relates to helping churches with our Afghan neighbors. Osman himself is Somali, a young man from Somalia. I just met him this weekend, who came to Christ out of Islam. As you know, he shared his story. He had memorized the Quran at 14 years old, was exposed to Christ in college through Campus Crusade. And when he, when it was known to his family and imam that he really had become a Christian, that he was disowned by his family. And so, we can add him to the prayer list as well in this new ministry role, under M&A for immigrant and refugees.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, we will go to prayer. Judy, could I ask you to start?
And I'll be happy to.
Then others pray as you would like, and I'll just close up.
Wonderful.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this special time, to be able to visit with, Irvin and his, and to learn more about his new position, with missions to North America. Father, we thank you that you have called him, and you've placed this call on his life. And, we thank you too that you have, helped him to prepare for this position by putting him in various other positions, with missions to North America, so that he's fully prepared to take on this new leadership position. Lord, I pray that you would help him as he plans and strategizes for the future of missions to North America, and that you just give him wisdom as he meets with each of these churches and presbyteries and with the leadership in those different positions, and that Father, you will just give him wisdom and knowing how to move forward in this new position. We just think about his family, and we just thank you for this beautiful family that you've given him, and we pray for his wife, Kim, and just ask you, Lord, to help her be able to accomplish finishing her biblical counseling degree, as she has so many other hats that she's wearing as well, Lord. And we thank you that you've allowed them to stay in D.C., where they have a healthy church that supports them, and where Kim is just heavily involved in the leadership of that church. And Father, we just pray that you will just multiply the fruits of their labor there, and just Lord, we pray for their children and for their oldest son and his wife and granddaughter out west. And as they seek a good church, Father, we just pray that you would open and close doors accordingly, so that they can find just the perfect spot where they can grow in their love for you, and grow spiritually, and just find a place where they can serve you in a special way. And I just pray for their son in St. Louis, whose goal is to be a professional musician, Lord. And certainly that is a difficult area to break into. So Lord, we just ask that you would guide him and give him wisdom, and again, open doors for him, Lord, and just let him follow your guidance and your leadership. And we pray for their daughter, who is trying to find a church and where she can grow and serve, and for their son, Jeremiah, as he tries to make a decision about which college to attend. Lord, just give him wisdom, and give him a clear picture as to where you want him to go. And Lord, we know the one who calls is faithful, and he will surely do it. So we just pray, claim that promise for this family. And I just pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
The great and eternal Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer and thanksgiving. Ask your blessing be upon all of us. We particularly ask your blessing be on Irwin and his family. Oh God, give him more tools to prepare him to penetrate ethnic barriers and spread the gospel in more ways. We pray for his wife as she's altering her career and counseling. Give her the wisdom and the guidance to make her effective. And we pray that you'll be with this ministry and make it effective. Mm-hmm. And we give thanks for Erwin and his family and his guidance in building this ministry. We ask in Christ's name.
Father, not only that Erwin would get to know the various leaders and ministry groups, but that they would get to know him and feel and see the depth of his heart and his desire to come alongside and form one cohesive unit, making the overall more effective than the individual.
Yes.
Watch over him, Father. As with all people who are strong leaders, seem not to take care of themselves.
Him,
give him the sense you gave a goat, that he would take care of himself so he can take care of the rest of us. With his son who is in Washington State, as a stranger in a strange land, and protect his daughter and seat on the ground, leader to those who can help her establish deep roots.
Yes.
For St. Louis, Father, may he find a deep and rich heritage there. Help him to grow both as a musician and as a child. And with Jeremiah looking for a student, help the parents guide strongly and gently enough to send him someplace to live. Help them along the way. His family, before this ministry, it's your blessings and your grace. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I agree with these prayers. We are grateful that we can gather by Zoom with this technology. We gather as brothers and sisters in Christ. We look to you with praise and thanksgiving to you, our Heavenly Father. And I thank you for Reverend Ince and for the ministry he's had over many years in different forms and leadership roles within our denomination as a moderator of our General Assembly and these other roles that he's described. I pray that you would give him wisdom now as he steps into this particular role. And give him strength and endurance. I thank you for Fred Marsh in the role that he's filled with MNA and his faithfulness over many years. I pray that you would continue to guide the leadership team at MNA. I pray that you would provide the financial resources necessary for these ministries. Mm-hmm. Pray that you would raise up new pastors, new men from our seminaries, that you would call them to be church planters, as well as to lead the existing churches, and that you would guide in the planning of new churches that will reach into the many ethnic communities of our nation, and that we would be united as one in Christ. all made in your image, all sharing in the body and blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray that our churches and our individuals within our churches, that we would act justly, and that we would seek mercy, and that we would walk humbly before you. Yes. And that you, in all things, Father, that we would glorify you, mm-hmm. and that the gospel would be on our lips, but it would be evident in our lives as well as we seek to honor you. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.